Well, good evening. Hope everyone's doing well today. Well, today it is 9/11. It's, I was thinking about 23 years ago. I remember where I was. I was in a preacher's meeting when we got the news about what was happening to the Twin Towers, and we kind of just paused the meeting and we started praying. And over 3,000 people that day went to work. They did not realize they were not going home that day. And I was thinking about it today that it's just a reminder of how people need the gospel. I mean, I wonder how many of those people died lost. And, you know, it's just a reminder that we need to get the gospel out. We've been talking about the Great Commission. We started a series last week, the Great Commission according to the Gospels. We looked at Matthew. Tonight, we're going to be looking at the Great Commission according to Mark. And each gospel writer gives an account of the Great Commission from their own perspective, and they complement and supplement each other. And it's been interesting for me to study it from the different perspectives of each gospel writer. So why don't you turn to Mark chapter 16. We're going to read the text and we're going to pray before we get started in the message. So Mark chapter 16, we're going to begin in verse number 14. Mark 16, begin 14 down through verse 20. It says, "Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word, and thank you for Mark's account of the Great Commission. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would just speak to us about the urgency of this commission that you've given us. Lord, we're living in a time where there's a lot of uncertainties about tomorrow. But I'm thankful for the hymns that we just sung to tell about our hope that we have in Christ. And I'm thankful for that we can look forward to being with Christ for all eternity. But until then, Lord, we've got people all around us that need you and need to hear the gospel. They're depending on us. You're depending on us to share the gospel. So, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts, and that we would not be like these early apostles that were rebuked by Jesus for their unbelief and their hardness of heart. God, help us to have tender hearts tonight. Help us to have believing hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now as we look at Mark's account, Mark's going to present Jesus according or as the servant of God. He's going to present him as the servant of God who came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In Mark 10:45, I believe that's probably the key verse of Mark's gospel. And I want you to think about this statement that Jesus as the servant. Remember, Matthew presents him as the king, but Mark presents him as the servant. And that is a biblical title in the Old Testament. If you look at Isaiah 52 and 53, and there's also some other scriptures in Isaiah where the Messiah is called the servant of Jehovah, or the servant of the Lord. And those of you that, I'm sure there's quite a few here tonight that was able to take the spiritual gifts class that we had some time ago on Saturday afternoons, and you will appreciate and enjoy this message more than those that didn't. But Mark is a server. He has the gift of serving. And so he's going to present the story of Jesus in his gospel from that perspective, from the perspective of a server. And so Mark's going to emphasize the service, the suffering, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, who serves as our example to follow. And so as we look tonight at this great commission according to Mark, Mark wants us to understand, number one, the urgency of the great commission. He wants us to understand the urgency. Again, I want to say he's given the great commission from the perspective of a servant who has a very important task to finish. Remember, a server, if you were in the class, that a server, they're task-oriented. They are motivated by meeting physical needs, doing physical tasks. And I thank God he's given us a lot of servers in our church, people that help take care of things, physical needs that need done here in the church. But that was Mark's gifting. And so he's going to look at the Great Commission from that perspective, from that viewpoint, because that's what motivates him. He's going to see it as a task that needs to be accomplished. It's a very urgent task. And so he begins, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." I mean, this is the most concise and to the point rendering of the Great Commission of the four Gospels. I mean, he's very to the point. In this Gospel of Mark, one of the key words is immediately or straightway. And it's used 42 times in the Gospel of Mark. Now, I want you to keep in mind, he's a server. He's thinking of tasks that need to be accomplished and immediately, straightway. And so, whereas Matthew said, all power, he records Jesus saying, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore." So he's saying, "Go ye therefore." He wants us to consider the king and his authority. And Matthew is a giver. And Matthew has the gift of giving. And so Matthew, when he gives his commission, he wants us to realize that the king is worthy of our sacrifice and our investment. That's why he's pointing back to his authority as the king, that he has all power. He has power in heaven and earth. And so he says, "Go you therefore." So his motivation is, the king is worthy. The king has power. The king is worthy of my eternal investment in his work. But Mark is focused on the task. He's focused on the task that needs completed straightway. Straightway. It needs to be completed straightway. And I like Mark's gospel because it's real fast-paced. It's action-packed. There's not much of the preaching. You won't find any of the parables in Mark. And it's all action. He's showing the servant of God fulfilling tasks, meeting physical and spiritual needs. And so he's focused on straightway. This is an urgent tax. It's something that we need to feel that pressure, the urgency to get this accomplished. You remember last week the quote, that famous quote that I shared with you, the Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but a command to be obeyed. Well, I was thinking about how Mark would say that, and so I altered it, and I put it this way. The Great Commission is not a task to be considered, but a task to be completed with urgency. That's how a servant would have said it. It's a task that needs to be completed. And it needs to be done with urgency. Now why such urgency? Why are we to be urgent about the Great Commission? Well, Mark tells us in verse 16. Let's look at verse 16 again. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, it kind of reminds me of what Paul said in Romans chapter 10. You might want to write this down, Romans 10, 14 and 15, where Paul said, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." So in other words, if we don't go and preach, I want you to think about it. If we don't go and preach, they're going to perish. They're going to be damned. That's what Mark's telling us. He says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Now, a lot of people get hung up on this verse 16 and thinking that baptism is necessary for salvation, but that's not what it means at all. You'll notice that last clause, that he that believeth not shall be damned. And so, it's not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ that will send you to hell. You know, a person can be baptized and not go to heaven. A person cannot be baptized and go to heaven. That's not the issue. The issue is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But baptism, I want to say this, it's not for our salvation, it's for our sanctification. That's what it's for. It doesn't say, but it's for our sanctification. It's commanded for us to, you know, to be like Christ, to follow his example, to obey him. You know, Sunday we were looking at the urgency of Jesus when he cried out, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few." So we looked at that urgency Sunday, but Mark, that's what Mark's commission is about. It's about the urgency of the Great Commission. He wants us to feel that urgency. This is a task that requires urgency. This is a task that needs to be completed ASAP. We need to be about it, fulfilling this task of fulfilling the Great Commission. Do you feel the pressure of the urgency of this great task? This great task that we've been given by Jesus. Mark also wants us to see the primary task of the Great Commission. The primary task of the Great Commission. You know, Mark doesn't give a lot of details like say Luke and Matthew give us about the Great Commission. But he focuses on the primary task, which is to preach the gospel. I want you to notice again, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Preach the gospel to every creature. That is the primary task of the Great Commission. I don't want you to misunderstand that preach, as it's used here, is not something that just preachers and missionaries do. The word preach simply means to herald or to proclaim something. When you look at the go ye, that includes you. You know, we say women can't be preachers. Well, they can in this sense. They are to be in this sense. I would say women can't be pastors and deacons, but women can be preachers. In this sense, the woman should share Christ, proclaim the gospel, just as well as men, just as well as boys and girls. You recall from Matthew last week the goal of the Great Commission? I don't want you to misunderstand the task and the goal. There's a difference. The goal of the Great Commission is to make disciples. We talked about that in Matthew's gospel last week. But the primary task is to preach the gospel, proclaim the gospel, the good news of Jesus, how that he died and he was buried and he rose again. Let me ask this question. How do we make disciples? If that's the goal of the Great Commission, how do we make disciples? By preaching the gospel. By preaching the gospel. That's how we make disciples. Jesus is our example. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1. In that first chapter of this gospel. I mean, he doesn't share any genealogy. He doesn't waste any time even. Not a lot about John the Baptist, a little bit, but he gets right into the story. And when you come to, verse 14 and 15. Mark 1, 14, 15. Now, after the John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So right off the bat, we see Jesus preaching the gospel, saying that you need to repent and believe the gospel. So here's our example. Jesus, how was he making disciples? He was doing it by preaching the gospel. To become a disciple of Jesus, you must believe the gospel. That's important. You must believe the gospel. If you're going to become a disciple of Jesus, a follower of Christ, you must believe the gospel. We're not talking just an intellectual belief here. We're talking believing with the heart, like the Bible talks about in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Believing with your heart the Lord Jesus. Confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. It's the heart belief. It's believing Him, being persuaded that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again so you can be saved. That's how you become a disciple. But going back to what Paul said, how shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? So how is a person going to become a disciple? How is a person going to believe the gospel if they're not told? If there's no preacher to preach? So that's the primary task, to preach the gospel. Now let me ask you another question. How do we mature disciples? How do we mature disciples? By preaching the gospel. By preaching. Yeah, it's that simple. It's that simple. You know, the gospel's not just for sinners. Did you know it's also for saints? It's for the saints. The gospel is not just for our salvation, it's for our sanctification. I'm going to read from four passages of Scripture because I want you to understand this. Because we're already halfway done, and my goodness, it's only 7:28. I've got plenty of time. So I want you to go to Mark 8, since we're in Mark's gospel. In Mark chapter 8, verse 31. It says, and he began to teach them. Who's them? The disciples. He's teaching his disciples. He's trying to mature them. He's already called them to salvation. They already believed him. Now they're following. And he said, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men." And when he had called the people unto him, with his disciples also, he said unto them, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus, preaching to his disciples the gospel, basically saying you have to live the gospel. So to grow as a disciple, you must live the gospel. To become a disciple, you have to believe the gospel, but to grow as a disciple, mature as a disciple, you have to live the gospel. He's telling them you have to deny yourself. You know, when we look at the gospel, what is the gospel? How that Christ said, "Not my will, but thy will." How Christ denied himself. He went to the cross. He sacrificed himself. He's pointing to that, saying, if you're going to come after me, you also must deny yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. See, he's pointing them back to the gospel. Now, let's look at another passage, Romans 6 and verse 6. Romans 6 and verse 6. Now, Romans 6 is about sanctification. When you read this passage, it starts out in verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Let's just go ahead and read and keep reading. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall all be also in the likeness of his resurrection." Notice verse 6. "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." You know, as a believer, we have to identify with Christ every day. We have to go back to the gospel. You know, a lot of people that live the Christian life, they live a performance-based Christian life. What I mean by that is they base God's favor on them by how well they perform. Like if they didn't spend much time today in prayer, maybe missed their Bible reading, they're going to feel bad and think, "Well, God, you know, he's probably don't love me." No, go back to the gospel. We're accepted in the Beloved. We're in Christ. We see sanctification and growing as a disciple of Christ. We have to keep going back to the gospel. We have to keep going back realizing who we are in Christ. We have to keep going back realizing we've been crucified with Christ. We've been raised up with Christ. We're to walk in newness of life. Let's look at another verse, Galatians 2:20. This is a more familiar verse. Some of you may have this verse memorized. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I want you to notice what Paul writes here. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." You know, this is gospel language. I'm crucified with Christ. That's gospel language. Paul's going back to the gospel. Identify himself with the gospel, with Christ. I've been crucified with Jesus. My old life is gone. I have a new life in Christ. Look in chapter 6 of Galatians, verse 14. Chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul said, there's nothing I can boast about but the cross. Paul doesn't boast about himself. He doesn't boast, hey, I'm a great apostle. I'm a great preacher. I'm a great Christian. Look what I've done. No, he glories in the cross. It's the cross that he glories in. One more passage, Philippians 3:10. This is another favorite verse of many. A great verse. Philippians 3:10. Paul says this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. What is Paul talking about here? Was he an unbeliever that needed to know Jesus? No, he knew Jesus. He's talking about growing as a disciple. He's talking about sanctification. He wants to know Jesus more. And what does he want to know more? The power of his resurrection. Fellowship of his sufferings. This is gospel language. Gospel language. So to grow as a disciple, you have to live the gospel. You know, after we get saved, we don't just set the gospel aside and never go back to it. No, that's our source of identity in our... It's the gospel that we know that we're accepted in the beloved. It's the gospel we are able to grow in Christ, because the gospel teaches us that we're crucified with Jesus and we've been raised up to walk in a newness of life with him. Anytime that you're having any kind of struggle in your Christian life, I guarantee you all you need to do is go back to the gospel. Just go back to the gospel, what Christ did for you. Remember what he did for you. If you think, well, he must not really love me, go back to the gospel. If you feel like you're failing in your walk, go back to the gospel. Look at what Jesus did. He's our example. The third question I would ask in this, under this point too, is why do we mobilize disciples? You know, and I'm using our church mission, loving God and people by making, maturing, mobilizing disciples of Jesus. That's the Great Commission summarized in my words. But why do we mobilize? Well, to preach the gospel. To preach the gospel. Disciples mobilize to preach the gospel. Now do you see my point, or Mark's point, the primary task of the Great Commission? Preach the gospel. It's at the core of the commission as far as the task. The goal, make disciples. The task, preach the gospel. You know, and even in biblical counseling, I can tell you that it all goes back to the gospel. You know, basically, when all counseling can be boiled down to two themes, salvation, sanctification. Because all your problems are rooted in those two things. Either you need salvation or you need to grow in sanctification. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's anger, if it's bitterness, if it's adultery, if it's drunkenness, if it's whatever, it goes back to those two topics. It goes back to the gospel. Preach the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. So Mark, and he wants us to see the urgency of the Great Commission, the primary task of the Great Commission, and number three, the universal scope of the Great Commission. You know, Mark wants to see the scope, the extent of the task. You know, I live with a server, so I know a little bit about servers, but... You know, when there's something to do around our house, there's urgency. I'm like, my wife, can't we wait until later? Can't you just go to bed and we'll do this in the morning? Mm-mm. It's urgent. It's got to be done. It's got to be completed. Then go to bed. That's Mark. I mean, the commission. We need to get this done. Jesus is coming. And there's the urgency of the task, but the scope of it, you know, the server's always going to look at the scope, and they can look at it and they can just break it down. I need to do this and then this and this and this and this and this. I got it all figured out. I know not to step in and tell my wife, no, we need to do it this way. No, I don't. I just need to let her do it. Step back and let her do it. She's already got it all scoped out. So Mark, he's saying here, the scope, the universal scope, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see the scope? All the world. We're to preach the gospel in all parts of the habitable world where people live. We're to preach the gospel to every human creature that's able to receive it. That's the scope. That's big, isn't it? Would you agree that that's a pretty big task? It's not just reach my family. It's not just reach my neighborhood. It's not just reach my city, my nation. It's the whole world is the task. Every creature. So it's not only an urgent task, it's an overwhelming task. It's an overwhelming task. It really is. To think about that. That's overwhelming to think about. I mean, just all the world. We're sitting at about 8 billion people in the world. I'm thinking it's may not quite be 8, but I think it is. It's getting close to that. It's a lot of people. And they say over 2 billion have never. Maybe, I believe there's probably more. I believe there's closer to 3 billion that's never heard the gospel. I mean, think of that. That's huge. Now, the question is, how are we to finish such a task? How? I mean, how can we finish such a task? I mean, Mark is telling us, or he's recording the words of Jesus, and, you know, of this overwhelming task, go to every creature. And Mark's the only one that, out of the four gospels, that gets to that detail. What did Matthew say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He was looking at groups, ethnic groups, nations. But Mark says every creature. Every soul is important. How are we to finish such a task? I want you to look in verse 20. I thought this was interesting. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Now I want you to stop and pause just for a minute. What does that tell you? You know, they went from unbelief and hardness of heart in verse 14 to obedience in verse 20. It says, and they went forth. They obeyed. They went forth. And what did they do? They preached. Where did they preach? Everywhere. I like that. Now look at the next phrase. The Lord working with them. How are we going to finish such a task? It's right there. The Lord working with them. That's how we do it. With the Lord working with us. It's overwhelming. We can't do it by ourselves. That's for sure. You know, like I preached recently. I don't know if it was Sunday or last Sunday. I can't remember. But I said we're on mission. Not for Jesus, but with Jesus. Lord working with them, with them. What does that mean? What does that imply? That he's with us. So in Matthew's account, we learn the king is with us. Remember, he said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world." In Mark's account, we learn the servant is working with us. So how do we finish such a task? Well, remembering those truths. The king's with us. The servant, he's working with us. Jesus is working with us. That's how we do it. We do it with his help, with his strength, with his power, with his leadership. And it's kind of like the story, I'm sure some of you heard this story, this little boy. He was on the beach, and a lot of these starfish had washed up on the beach. And the boy knew that because the tide was going out, the boy knew that those starfish were going to die unless they got back in the water. So he's out there trying to throw them back in, one at a time. So this guy's walking along, and because it's just all down the beach, all these starfish. And the guy's asking him, telling the boy, you know, you're not going to be able to save them all. I saved that one. That's how it is. I mean, it's every creature one at a time. One at a time. Just go forth, proclaim the gospel. Mark, he just gets to the point. I like it. It's just to the point. He doesn't have to give all these other motivations like, well, the king has all power and authority, so you better go. No, he just said, go. Go and preach. Get the job done. We have just a few minutes, so I want to just address just some of these verses, because some people look at this and they ignore Mark's Great Commission passage because of verse 16 through 18. We already addressed verse 16. But in verse 17 and 18, I want you to just hold your place here and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. You know, we're in our Bible reading, we're in Hebrews. Read chapter 4 today in our Bible reading, but in Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to look at the first four verses here. He says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. And he's pointing back to verse chapter 1 about Christ, that God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus. So we need to give earnest heed to what he said to us. And he said, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Now look at verse 4. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. What I want you to see, all these verses were fulfilled in that first century. These apostles, the word was confirmed. We find that in verse 20, back in Mark 16, that they went forth everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. All these things happened. God confirmed these things as they went and preached. But you know, I believe when we go and preach, God's going to confirm our witness too. The Holy Spirit will witness to those people. The Holy Spirit was sent to bear witness. Not only do we bear witness, but the Holy Spirit. The Lord has his way of confirming the word. And so there's still application today. So don't get disturbed by these verses. We're not going to start taking up snakes next Sunday or next Wednesday night, like some of the churches do in the South. Some of those churches that would have snakes in their service. And you know, it's crazy. You know, what I get with this is that God's going to protect us. He's going to help us get the job done. We just need to focus on obedience. Preach the gospel. God's going to take care of you. God's going to meet your needs. God's going to be a witness. And it's just like we heard from the missionary in Connect Sunday, talking about Moses. Moses made up all those excuses. But God told Moses, throw down your staff. God said, I'm going to confirm. You just go and do what I ask you to do. I'll do the rest. That's what's happening here. Just go. Just go and preach. Trust the Lord to work in and through you. It's urgent. So let's take in what Mark's perspective of the Great Commission is. He shares what Jesus said. He shares with us this urgency. He shares with the primary task of preaching the gospel in this universal scope. Everybody needs Jesus. Everybody needs the gospel. Everybody. Everybody we meet needs the gospel. Let's not be picky. Let's give everybody that we meet an opportunity to hear the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Great Commission. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us four gospels that give it from a different perspective and with a different emphasis and a different aspect of the Great Commission. And I'm thankful for Mark's just to the point, straightway, immediately, we need to get the gospel to people. And so, Lord, I pray you'd help us to be mindful of that. Help us, Lord, to feel that burden, that pressure of urgency. People need Jesus. We know that you're coming soon, and we need to get the task accomplished. So I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Help us to have faith. Help us to, again, I pray not to be, have a hard heart, not to be unbelieving, but believing, trusting, obeying. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.